Let's pray. Our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray that you would send your Spirit upon us today to draw us closer to you, to alleviate any fears, doubts, or questions that we might have. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want you to think back to where you were at last Easter and what you were doing. Now go back a few weeks, a couple months, and think about towards the end of January, beginning of February, all of a sudden we were starting to hear these rumors that there was this crazy new virus called the coronavirus or COVID-19 sweeping through Asia and now heading towards Europe. And then as you watched the news, you saw how Italy was in quarantine and how these people were singing to each other from their balconies to stay sane. And then we're all wondering, is this going to come here? And then all of a sudden, everything was in lockdown. All the governors were saying, you have to stay at home. You can't go out to your businesses. You have to wear masks everywhere you go. And it was chaotic. Businesses were trying to figure out how to get their employees to work remotely. Restaurants were closing down left and right. Grocery stores were overwhelmed. Toilet paper disappeared. Remember that? It's gone from the face of the earth. Spring break almost turned into summer break, where it was 1 week that, no, we're going to go with two, and no, three. All of a sudden, it was 6 weeks because the schools were trying to figure out how to do school online. And then us pastors, we had to learn how to use the internet and try to live stream everything, and all of a sudden, now we're not talking to groups of people. We're talking to a camera, and we were half expecting, I was expecting that, okay, this is going to end by Easter. Do you think that? Us pastors are like, you know what? It's the most amazing celebration of the year. It's the most important celebration of the Christian church. God is going to open up the doors. We're all going to come back and say, whew, it's over. That didn't happen. I was living in Texas at the time, and what happened Easter morning was the tornado sirens went off right next to my home, and my kids, my wife, and I were all hunkered down. There's six of us in our bathtub with our cushions on top of us. Thankfully, nothing hit. But that's where we were Easter last year. Here in Minnesota, I did some research. You had 4 to 10 inches across the state. Even if you wanted to go anywhere, you couldn't because you were inundated with snow. None of this met our expectations. That was just Easter. When you think about all of 2020, all of our expectations were blown up, weren't they? We had the horrible, tragic death of George Floyd that incited all these riots across our nation. We had the crazy, divisive presidential election that just highlighted even more the divide within our country. And that's just on a national level, but that all trickled down to us personally because all of you had some crisis that you had to deal with. Some of you lost your jobs. Some of you had to take major pay cuts. Some of you had surgeries that you had lined up that you weren't able to get to alleviate that pain because the clinics had closed down. Some of you graduated last year and you were excited to walk across that stage to receive your diploma in your hand and throw your cap with the rest of your graduates, but instead you had a Zoom meeting and you got it in the mail, your diploma. Marriages have been stretched to the max because constantly trying to figure out what do we do next and all the pressures and all the stresses. Some of you lost loved ones and you weren't able to go to the funeral. Some of you had plans that you had been working on for years. All of a sudden, destroyed, upended, and you had to learn how to pivot. I think that's going to be the word of 2020, right? Pivot, adapt, ultimately do life differently. And all these scenarios have taken a huge and massive toll on us mentally, physically, and spiritually. Something happened between last Easter and this Easter that did not meet your expectations. And I believe God is using all of that to make us think more about Him And how many of us throughout the year, and I know I did this, where you got to that point of frustration and you just started yelling at God? Maybe you're in your car and you're like, why is this happening? Why is this going on? I did not expect this. And that frustration and those questions are not unique to us in this time of history, especially surrounding Easter. In fact, I want to take you back 2,000 years to that first Easter, where they had a lot of questions and there was a lot of frustration. And it was stemming from what happened to Jesus just a few days earlier. The man, Jesus Christ, had been tortured, crucified, meaning that he was nailed to a cross, and then he was buried. This is not what his followers, his disciples, expected to happen to him. But they also didn't expect that dead man to come back to life. Because as they're locked behind doors that Sunday evening, all of a sudden Jesus shows up and says, I'm alive. And just imagine if one of your dearest friends, somebody you loved, all of a sudden you go to their funeral and then they show up for dinner. Wow, like this is amazing. And they're super excited about it. But one of the disciples, Thomas, was not there. And as excited as the disciples were to share this good news, Thomas doubted. And because he doubted, he has received this unfortunate nickname that he's carried for centuries, Doubting Thomas. Now, we're not here to make fun of Thomas. We're not here to disparage him. We're here to learn from his story today. And God made sure that his story was written in the chronicles of the Bible so that we can learn from it and grow from it. Thomas's story is written for us in John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning with verse 24. And this is what he says. But Thomas, one of the 12, the one called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe. Thomas had just spent the last 3 years of his life dedicated to listening to everything that Jesus said. He was there when he performed these amazing, profound miracles. He was there when he took a little boy's lunch and he turned it into this massive meal for thousands of people. He was there in the boat on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus walked across the lake without any flotation device. He was there when this little girl died and Jesus grabbed her hand and brought her back to life. He was there at Lazarus's tomb where he had been there for 4 days and Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come out. And he saw the dead man walk out of the tomb. What Thomas had come to expect of Jesus was only greatness. And so at this moment, he's completely confused because what he saw at the cross was the exact opposite of greatness. It made him mad and sad. How could Jesus have been so weak to allow his enemies to do such a cruel thing? And he's going through all of these emotions. Confusion, anger, and doubt. That moment, that event, challenged Thomas's view of Jesus and of God. And no amount of excitement from his friends was going to change that. Now he's dead set. I don't only need to see the resurrected Jesus, I need to touch him. I need to put my fingers in his side and in his hands, or I will never believe. This is how Thomas reacted when Jesus did not meet his expectations. How do you react? How have you reacted when Jesus has not met your expectations? Do you struggle in those moments to believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be? And if you don't know who he claimed to be, he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be God himself. He claimed to be the Savior of the world that has come to give every one of us a one-way pass to be in heaven with God forever. But this question Is Jesus really who he claimed to be? Is a question every single human being has to wrestle with, especially those who claim to believe. And when certain expectations aren't met, this is the point where faith and doubt collide. Every one of us has situations come up in our lives that don't turn out the way that we had hoped they would. And I'm not referring to when you go to the Mall of America and you have that prime spot and you're about to you pull into it and somebody else pulls in. You're like, that frustration. I'm talking about when you're praying for a loved one and you're praying for them that in their sickness that they get better, but in the end they die. Or you're fighting for your marriage, and in your mind there's no room for reconciliation. Or when you get laid off and you have a family to take care of and you have no clue how you're going to provide. In those moments or in moments like those, do you believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the great provider, that he's going to continue to provide for you in your need? Do you believe that Jesus Christ can go way beyond and do what seems impossible to you and me? It's those moments of stress and anxiety that tend to bring to surface what we truly believe about Jesus. And let me say this. It's natural to have questions. It's normal to have doubts. And maybe in your experience with the church, that has not been your impression. Maybe someone has told you, hey, if you're a true believer, if you're a true Christian, keep those doubts, keep those questions to yourself. If someone talks like that, then they haven't read the Bible. Because the Bible is full of Jesus followers questioning and doubting and living between that awkward position of floating between believing and doubting. Thomas wanted to believe in Jesus. But in this moment of grief, he didn't understand how the cross and suffering and death were all part of God's plan. And for him personally, he didn't just need to see Jesus. He needed to touch Jesus. He needed to feel his wounds. And what this demonstrates is that Thomas hadn't quite given up on Jesus yet. Otherwise, he would have abandoned the disciples. He would have gone his separate way. But we find him caught in this uncomfortable spot between faith and unbelief. And that's where Jesus has an encounter with him. This is what it says in verse 26. After 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. So again, Thomas hasn't given up. He's there. He's with the other disciples. And they're behind locked doors because they saw what happened to Jesus, and they don't want that to happen to them, so they're hiding out. And there's no knock on the door. There's no doorbell because I don't think they had them back then. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, poof, there's Jesus. And he says exactly what they need to hear. "Peace be with you." And then he turns to Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Up to that moment, Thomas had been stuck in his doubts. And to free him, Jesus gave him exactly what he needed. He allowed him to touch his wounds and see that everything that happened to him on the cross didn't negate who Jesus was, but validated that Jesus is God. In that moment of doubt, God did not push Thomas further away. He patiently met him where he was. And Jesus told him, and I don't think in a stern way, but in a very passionate, compassionate way, "Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Jesus said this because he didn't want Thomas to be consumed and stuck in that uncomfortable spot. No, he wanted him to have peace. And peace only comes through believing in Christ. And Thomas believed. This is his statement of faith here. Thomas answered him, would you read this with me? My Lord and my God. I just imagine Thomas going, like, stunned. Like, you're standing right before me. And that's in far contrast, because that week leading up to this, those 10 or 11 days from Jesus' death to now, all of his expectations had been dismantled piece by piece. And I imagine in that time period, Thomas is constantly going through those 3 years and going, was it worth it? Was this just one big waste of time? What's going on? But in that moment of seeing and touching the resurrected Jesus, it all became clear. Jesus hadn't just been Thomas's teacher. He hadn't just been his mentor and good friend. All of a sudden, what's going on? Doubting Thomas is becoming, this is his new nickname, Believing Thomas. And he's starting to recognize, whoa, this is my Lord and my God. This is what Easter is all about. Jesus and believing in him, believing that he is God and that he has a better plan for you even when you don't see it in the moment. It's about believing that Jesus can do immensely more than you have ever expected. It's about believing that Jesus is willing to meet you in your anxiety, in your doubts, and in your questions, and to replace those doubts with faith. This is what Easter is all about. And yet I can read some of your minds, and you're saying, yeah, if Jesus showed up and let me touch his wounds, I'd believe too. I get it. Again, I don't think anyone's ever seen that happen. I don't think it's going to happen. But Jesus knew some of us would ask that question or have that doubt, and this is his response to Thomas in that moment. Jesus said to him, to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Now this is for us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen Jesus and touched Jesus but have believed. Just like Jesus didn't want Thomas to be consumed in his doubt, Jesus doesn't want you to be consumed by it either. One of the names that Jesus is given in the Bible is the Word, or Logos. The Word appeared in the flesh to Thomas. And the way that the Word appears to you and me is through the written Word, through the Bible, so that we may believe everything you need to know, everything you need to help you meet the challenges of this life and the upended expectations is found right there in God's word, so that you can believe in Jesus and be blessed. And the Apostle John, who wrote all this down for us, confirms that in the next verse. First off, he says, Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book, and how we wish they had been written down. But he says, that's not the most important part. Here's the most important part. But these are written that you may, what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus invites you to come with your questions, with your doubts, with your anxieties, and your unmet expectations. And he promises that through his word, he is patiently going to meet you where you're at. And through him, you will come to know what it means to have life. True, everlasting life. Here at Faith Church, we strive to follow Jesus' example in meeting people where they are at, because that's where Jesus has met us. We take that seriously. Jesus has met us in our doubts and in our questions, and we want to be this congregation that is willing to do the same for you in your spot. If this is your first time joining us online or in person, I want to invite you personally to come back and continue this journey through God's word to see Jesus more clearly. In fact, next week we are starting a new small group Bible study called Faith in Focus. And this study is based off of all my questions that I've had about God and my unmet expectations. And it's showing you what the Bible says specifically about those. If you want to see Jesus more clearly, I want to invite you to come next week right after the service. We'll meet downstairs and we're going to walk through this together. Because Jesus wants to meet with you. Jesus invites us to come. He commands us, stop doubting, not in a harsh way, but in the most loving way possible. And he says, believe. Blessed was Thomas because he got to see. But even more blessed are we who believe and have not seen. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for meeting us right now in this year of unmet expectations as we're continually figuring out how to do life. Jesus, thank you for being patient with me, with all of us, letting us wrestle through the questions that we have, and thank you for giving us solid answers, answers that have stood the test of time, that are written permanently for us in your word. Lord, help us all today, whether here or watching at home, to believe that you are the Lord, our God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.